Blog Talk Radio.
You guys, welcome in. This is the V2V podcast where your voices are heard, your stories are told, and your hearts can begin to heal. I am your host, Dr. Marcy, America's voice for the voiceless. We just closed out Men's Month in July, so listen, y'all, if y'all missed any of those episodes, be sure to hop online. You can listen to the replays on all of them on our website at 9seconds.org/2022 episodes. You can get all caught up because, man, the guys, they dropped some gems and some jewels for y'all. So welcome to August. It is Black Business Month all this month. And so in true V2V fashion, we are highlighting and spotlighting the voices and the stories of Black business owners and entrepreneurs. And so I am excited about the conversations. I'm excited about the opportunity to share some of the magnificent and creative things Black entrepreneurs are doing, how they're making their mark on the business world. I was looking at statistics earlier in preparation for tonight's show, and we're showing up, but we've got some areas and some opportunities for growth. And so that's what some of our guests over the course of the next few weeks is hopefully going to help all of us with. And each week when we do come together, as you all know, if you have tuned in before, I like to have healthy adult dialogue about critical life topics. And that includes entrepreneurship. It includes money, finances, you name it. I firmly believe that there's no subject that's too taboo. I think that you can talk about anything if you are willing to create a safe space and open it up to authenticity. On occasion, the conversations can get a tad a little bit uncomfortable sometimes, but I do believe that's even more of a reason to have these elevated types of conversations in a public format. So I think that we can grow through our discomfort if we're willing to be open-minded about it. So enough about that. My intention every single week is that from either me or from one of the guests that you will hear something that will either move you, motivate you, or challenge you to begin making some proactive and sustainable changes in your own life, relationships, and your businesses, your careers, your finances. I always say that change can't happen around you until it occurs within you. So it all starts with you and your willingness to be able to take those first and initial steps. And sometimes that just means listening to wonderful guests like my guest tonight. Before each show, I always ask that God use this show to have the conversations that need to be heard. I thank him for the voice, the platform, and the opportunity to become a conduit for healing and for recovery. So just as a reminder, we are live on air here on Blog Talk Radio. Phone lines are open. That number is 914-219-0880 if you want to call in. That's 914-219-0880. And the phone lines will be open for the duration of the show. So tonight's conversation, my guest tonight, she's an amazing woman. She's a community leader. She's a business person. She's an entrepreneur. She's a writer, speaker. She teaches. She educates, and she motivates and inspires, and she does all of that with style, flair, and grace. My guest tonight is Miss Catherine Trotter, and we're going to be discussing the journey back, overcoming life challenges, achieving success, and she definitely has an amazing story. Miss Catherine was born and raised in Prince George's County, Maryland. She holds a bachelor's degree in political science from Morgan State University, and she's a licensed life insurance broker. She is an accomplished author. She's a sought-after speaker and strategist. And through her consulting company, Catherine provides an array of services to business owners and helping them grow their companies. So she's the perfect person to have this conversation with tonight. Her niche area is program development and strategic planning, which I personally love. And she's been awarded a contract with the Office of Neighborhood Safety and Engagement through the Executive Office of the Mayor and in, I believe, in cooperation with Dramatic Solutions out of Washington, D.C., where she provides business development courses to their participants. In 2019, she produced SLT, The Talk, podcast radio show featuring business owners statewide and internationally. And in 2021, she launched When Queens Meet, the networking group to support women in their personal, professional, and entrepreneurial journeys. And I have met some of the incredible ladies that she works with in that group, and they are simply phenomenal. In 2022, Ms. Trotter launched the NB Diversity Enrichment Academy, LLC, which is a professional entrepreneurship development program. And if that's not enough, she's about to release her next book in a few weeks, but I'm going to let her get into that. So, Catherine, welcome, welcome, welcome. I appreciate you joining tonight. Are you with us? Are you there, Catherine? All right, guys, we have a little technical difficulty, so I am going to switch over to a little bit of music, and we will see. We can't get Miss Catherine reconnected with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, so we are, Catherine is trying to reconnect. Catherine, are you there with us now?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I don't know what happened because we were talking before the show started, and I don't know what happened.
Technology, that's technology for you, but I am so excited to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I thought you would be the perfect person. I know that you kind of have your hands in many, many different areas of entrepreneurship, and especially being a Black business owner. I thought, you know what? I know the perfect person to kick off Black Business Month. So welcome. Why don't we get started? I know you haven't been feeling the best, so we're going to try and make this as pain-free for you as possible. But would you share for our listeners a little bit about you, things that you've maybe faced and overcome, and kind of what brought you to where you are now?
Yeah, so I started my entrepreneurship journey actually when I was 22 years old in the Baltimore City community. Actually, I had graduated from Morgan State University. Originally, my thoughts in high school, I was going to go off to become a lawyer. But my past was detoured right after college. Actually, I was a youth coordinator. That was my very first job coming out of college. And as a youth coordinator here in the Baltimore community, it just really opened my mind and my heart to civic engagement and really engaging members of the community, particularly the youth and young adults, pouring back into them. So my journey started as a youth coordinator. Now, in that process, I discovered that I also wanted to start my own nonprofit organization, which took me on the entrepreneurship path at a young age of 22 when I actually filed my documents downtown and opened up a nonprofit organization, got my 501c3. Now, 5 years into me having a nonprofit organization, other leaders were starting to ask me questions about strategic planning, organizational development, how do I get my 501c3. So after having my nonprofit for 5 years, that then opened up another door for me to start the consulting business with a specific niche area in nonprofit development, strategic planning, and organizational development. So I like to say my path was very organic. I followed the path of my passion, which was youth development. From that, the nonprofit started. From that, there were leaders asking for assistance around strategic consulting business was born. So it was very organic for me.
I love that. It's because you said one of the very things that I wanted to talk about tonight, because when I was reading statistics earlier, it was talking about reasons why African-Americans start their business. And one of mm-hmm. The survey said that 34% started their own business because they wanted to pursue their own passion. And then 29% was dissatisfied with corporate America. Then the 13%. The opportunity just presented itself. So mm-hmm. the fact that you were able to be able to, with your degree in poli-sci, your interest in civic engagement, and then be able to turn that into a successful business endeavor at the age of 22 is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, you know, it was definitely a journey. And at that time, I had, you know, approached a person that was in a position of power seeking for advice, like, hey, should I do this, should I not? They were like, hey, you know, you really shouldn't do it. It's going to be too hard. It's going to be challenging. And so I just say to anyone listening now, if you're going to listen to the replay, listen, don't allow anyone to discourage you. If you have someone discouraging you, use that as your motivation, because I used that word to me that was stated it was going to be too hard as motivation. Now, did I hit my head against the wall many times? Yeah, I was 22 years old, a coach at that time, but I did not allow that to hinder me. And every brick wall I did hit, I used that as a learning lesson, which then helped me in my coaching capacity to teach others that was also attempting to start their own organizations.
Yeah, that's definitely good advice, because people oftentimes will try and direct you from the place of their confidence level. And so if they're not confident mm-hmm. for themselves to be able to start a business, or maybe they've failed at it in the past or something like that, then they're reluctant to be able to offer you any advice or encouragement as well. You said something else that was interesting to me, and that was that you were laying out how it kind of all happened in an organic fashion. And so you were talking about the different doors that began to open. What was your experience at 22? Like, I find it interesting because you said, I think it was 5 years later that you started your consulting company. So that's relatively young to have other entrepreneurs seeking advice from you. What do you think positioned you to be able to do that kind of work and to be able to go into the consulting arena?
Well, a lot of it was just hands-on knowledge from the work I was already doing in the community. And strategic planning is something that comes to me very naturally. So prior to starting the consulting business, as I stated, I was a youth coordinator. I was organizing youth engagement activities, engaging with the families, members of the community, collaborating, putting pieces of the puzzle together. So it was just natural. So when I started a consulting business, I started a consulting business based on what I personally knew, based on my niche that I had knowledge of. You know, sometimes we're just starting businesses and it's kind of like, this is the sticks, but I started something based on my knowledge base.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's definitely always, especially when we have a passion about something, but we have no knowledge about it. And so that can kind of, you know, lead us up to some into some obstacles. I want to take a turn because I titled this episode for you, The Journey Back, and you know why. And we'll get into that a little later. But as a young entrepreneur, you're out there, you're making moves, you're shaking trees, you're educating people at a very early age. But I know from you know, our conversations offline that you had some personal obstacles. How did you stay motivated to not give up on your dreams and your career aspirations and things like that as an entrepreneur? Because for a lot of people, you know, you said, like, I bumped my head sometimes, but I kept going. So what was it that allowed you to be able to do that?
It was the youth that I was mentoring, honestly. Seeing a lot of things that they were going through were a direct mirror image to things that I went through. There was this particular family that stands out to me. It was a family of four. It was a mom, and this mom was alcoholic, and there was a lot of alcoholism in my home back when I was growing up, and I remember very vividly getting a call from one of the children that was in my after-school program, and he called me, and he said, I need your help, Mom. Is breathing so heavy rapidly. I don't know what's going on with her. Come help. I remember going, before I even got there, he put her on the phone, and she was breathing rapidly. And I said, listen, do you want some help? I said, because if they take their children away, they're not going to keep them all together. Typically, we all know if children are taken by foster care, we'll have, sometimes they're not all kept together, and there's several of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, I wanted help. I wanted help. And we got her help. We were able to get the children connected to a family member so they would not be separated while she went into in-treatment care. And I remember that situation vividly because I asked her, do you want a relationship with your children? Because alcoholism, it can, if she's not fully present in her children's life and different things that she can be saying while she's doing, I mean, these are things that I know I personally experienced. It can leave a mark and create this disconnection with her and her children. So I remember asking her that question. She said, yes, I want a relationship with my children. And she got help. And I remember she got clean. She went into treatment. She got clean. And her family did not get disconnected. They stayed together. That's out of many stories, that's the one that I think impacted me the most because I saw myself directly in that situation. And so knowing that I was able to help a family and the children did not get separated, because that was many of us growing up, a lot of us as well in my home, and that just showed me, even though the things that I went through that, then in that situation, I could speak directly to it. Not what someone else heard or read out of a book. I spoke directly to that situation because I also went through it.
It was really the personal connection. So as you begin navigating through life challenges and so forth of your own, it was you were able to just kind of look back on that and say, what I'm doing is making a difference. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I'm making a difference and kept the family together because when kids go foster care, especially if it's multiple, it's not custom that they keep all the kids together. And the thing is, I remember that call like it was yesterday when the son called me. And these are little kids. These are not, they were not even in middle school yet. These were all elementary kids.
Wow.
And he called me and he said, my mother is breathing so rapidly. And the thing is, I knew they loved their mother. That's the thing. She wasn't physically abusive to them or anything like that. But she was an alcoholic. But I knew she loved them, and I knew they loved her. I knew the genuine love was there. So that's the difference. If I knew it was like physical abuse or something else, you know, I probably would have taken that a little bit different. But I knew the love was there, and I knew she genuinely needed help. But I asked her, now, if she didn't get help, it would have went another way, too. She declined to help. that she accepted the help, she got treatment, she got clean, and the family was able to stay together.
That is such a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. So I want to talk, I know it's going to seem like I'm bouncing around a lot, but I want to be respectful of the fact that you're not feeling well. So there are some things that I just really want to talk to you about. And so one of the things, there was, in the, when I was looking at the statistics, there's about close to 2.7 million businesses owned by Black women. And that's reflective of about 21% of all women-owned businesses. So it's really the largest segment outside of just a general other or minority-owned business category, right? So a pretty substantial number of small businesses. But one of the things that it said was that the average revenue or income for that small business is only about $24,000 on average. So when you're working with, it's a huge, I mean, you hear the numbers, 2.7 million, but then when you realize they're either not profitable or they're only moderately profitable, then it becomes a different conversation. So for you in the strategic planning area, because you primarily deal with entrepreneurs and small businesses, is that right?
Correct. That's my niche area.
So when you're working with these small businesses, what are some things that you, if you've got a small business owner and their business is, you know, it's been up and running for a while, but they're not really seeing a significant, basically they can't live off of it, right? It's not sustaining them. What are some steps or some recommendations? What are some first steps that you kind of walk them through as their consultant?
Well, the first thing we got to nail down is why do they want to do it? What is their why? What is their mission? That's the foundation to any business, whether it's for-profit or non-profit. What is your why and what is your mission? Because on those tough times, those challenging times, those upside-down times, if you're not tapped into the why or the mission, you're going to quit. That's the first foundation. After we establish what the why is and what the mission is, then we have to talk about, okay, what is your core services? What are you uniquely offering that can keep you, you know, stand you out, you know, kind of set you apart from the rest? What is your competitive advantage? You have to identify what is the competitive advantage that's going to set that particular business apart. And then we have to identify how are you going to deliver those services. Then it's the how are you going to deliver the services, right? What unique way are you going to deliver it that's going to be appealing to your target audience? And that's the other point we got to talk about. As you determine the services, who is your target audience? Who will partake in those services? Who will want those services? And we have to establish that. I think that's the core foundation in the business, understanding your why, understanding your mission, understanding what sets you apart, what is your competitive edge, what are your services that you uniquely can offer, and then how are you going to deliver it to your target audience?
And so when they're looking at, that's a great list, by the way. So when they're looking, because I know from my own experience working with small business owners on business development and stuff like that, you know, having them come to some of those answers can be, like, they think they know why they're in business and they think they know who their customer is, but sometimes it's a little bit more, like they need to do a little bit more digging. So what are some things that you've observed, maybe some businesses that you've helped where they were kind of struggling to begin with, maybe with their whys and what is their mission? They know what they want to do or what they want to accomplish. How do you get them to find the clarity on that?
Sometimes it's in the active motion and doing. At some point, we got to get off the bench and launch out into the deep. Because even with my mission and different things that I'm doing, clarity didn't happen until I got in motion. Like I had my initial, you know, thought of what I wanted to do. I have it on paper. And when it's on paper, that's just theory. Until you step in the game of business, that's how you do the adjustments. It's only when you step into the game of business that you can adjust, tweak, change. Like, oh, okay, I thought it was going to be this, but maybe it's really not that. No, it really needs to be this. So while I'm not saying just jump out there without a plan, I definitely believe in having a plan because I'm a strategist. You have to have a plan. But sometimes the only way you can keep the plan is if you actually start. And I'm not saying be all over the place and start everything on your business plan. Pick one thing out of the list of services that you say you want to offer and start to implement it. Some things won't even come to clarity until you start.
Yeah, boy, I got stories for days. Stories for days on the fact that that is so true. You don't necessarily, like you said, like when it looks good on paper, but then when you get out there and you really strap on the boots and you're like, I need to start walking, and this is like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. It doesn't look like I thought. It's just not bringing the revenue that I thought it's going to bring. And so you're right about that, getting in motion. Like things definitely can change. So when they're tweaking things along the way, how do you help them kind of navigate through that? Now, do you give them like a written business, like you help them create a business plan to begin with, or do you do it in some other way?
So in the very beginning, I'm a strong proponent of coaching. So everyone gets a questionnaire in that process of the questionnaire in those first couple of weeks. We're dissecting, we're answering, we're filling out the questionnaire. They can help actually bring clarity to even write the business plan. So the first couple of weeks, we're just dissecting, we're exploring what are the possibilities for that business and that business owner before we even get to the business plan part. Because in the business plan, you have your executive summary, your marketing strategy, your financial projections, and all of that. Sometimes that is just like talking another language if you haven't even got the basis down of why do they want to do it, who are their core target audience, how are we going to deliver it. And that is done initially through a questionnaire that I send out to everyone. And then we dissect that questionnaire together and dialogue about it. The last step is putting together all those pieces of the puzzle for the business plan. Because in the very beginning, they're still trying to process their thoughts. So that's what I assist them with in the very beginning. Processing the thoughts, getting that down onto paper to make sure it's a cohesive outline before we get to the point where we can do the business plan.
Yeah, and I knew the answer to that, but I wanted you to speak on it simply from the fact that I know a lot of times if I'm working with someone and they're just considering starting their business, that's the first thing they want to jump into is, well, I need a business plan. It's like, no, you need to plan for your business before you need a business plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you said it at the very beginning, like it starts with coaching. And oftentimes people don't really consider all the different nuances and till they get kind of in the middle of it.
Right. It's true. And, you know, the crazy thing about business, I mean, it's crazy but not crazy. Sometimes you just don't know until you step out. But when you look at different business leaders and different people that write business books, oftentimes the common thread you will hear from them, along the way, I made adjustments. Along the way, I had new
problems.
Along the way. I mean, any person that has become successful, for anyone that's listening now and going to listen later, pick your favorite, you know, icon. Pick your favorite business guru. Pick your favorite entertainer that has become successful. If you look at the history of their life, look, we can speak about Tyler Perry. You know, he slept out of his car in the very beginning. He didn't even have a lot of sales to his shows in the beginning, to the point he did not have a lot of money, but he didn't let that stop him. And so sometimes we see the shine at the end of the gold or the glitz when a person has become very successful, and we got to go back to those beginning phases. And I think if we go back to the beginning phases of how someone becomes successful, that will give us an indicator we can't quit in the first season or the second season or what have you. We have to ask ourselves, what season of our life are we in? What chapter in our business are we in? haven't even made it to the conclusion of the book yet of our life or of our business. So we have to continue to move forward, have to continue to build. And sometimes you don't even know until you start. So some people say, when I get it all together, I'm going to start my business. And now we've got a chance. So people that you hear say that they actually never, years go by, they never start. There's never a perfect time. However, I do believe in strategies, that there should be a structure. So although I'm saying yes, step out, I'm not saying step out with no structure. You have to have your initial outline, but sometimes it will not go to the next level until you step out with that initial outline.
Right, and I think sometimes people can get affected with sort of a failure to launch where it's planning and planning and planning until it's, you know, they want it to be perfect before they, as you said, get in motion. And, you know, you use Tyler Perry as a perfect example. You know, if you go back and look at any of, you know, recent celebrities, things like that, especially if they've come up sort of in this internet type of world, what they started with looks nothing like where they are now. I mean, think of like a Justin Bieber, for example. He starts out just playing the guitar on YouTube. That looks nothing like the Justin Bieber that is, you know, Hollywood celebrity and, you know, all those types of things now. And so that failure to launch, because I think people put so much time and effort wanting it to be perfect, but being afraid to course correct. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like, you know, if I just take myself, for example. So when I started my company 10 or 11 years ago, 12 years ago now, it was called Sweat Equity Transformation. And, you know, it's always been about, you know, self-esteem and empowering yourself to kind of take back control of your life, that kind of thing. But it was based off of nutrition and weight loss and fitness and mental health type stuff in the beginning, which looks nothing like what it looks like now. Right. So there's this evolution process. And so how do you keep them encouraged through that evolution process? Because I know it can get frustrating.
No, it can. It definitely can. I mean, and that's why a person has to be in touch with their why. They have to be in touch with why are they doing it, what's the purpose of why they're doing it. Because if they don't understand their why and the who, you have to be so compelled to the audience that you're going to be serving that you're not going to quit, that you're not going to give up. You know, before I even started the consulting business, like I said, it started with the youth. And I saw myself in the youth. I know what it felt like to be in a home where there's alcoholism and it's challenging times and you're just trying to figure out how you're going to, you know, get through. It's very, very difficult. It's very difficult to process. So when you can see yourself in your target audience. And so I say that, so as I talked about the growth, so remember, through the nonprofit, I started getting questions from other civic leaders, nonprofits, to help them. I then saw myself in the nonprofit leaders, because in the very beginning, I went to seek out for help, but I was declined. I didn't have any coaches. There was no coach for me. So when it was time for me to start my consulting business, I saw myself in startup nonprofit leaders that didn't have a coach, and I knew what I went through. So in both arenas, me and my nonprofit, me as a coach, I saw myself, and I know what being in a need felt like. And I think when you're in touch with that, you've personally experienced it, you're going to be different. You're going to be competitive. Like, I never had to, even to this day, I don't have to do a bunch of cold calling for referrals. A week don't go by, and I don't get a referral for a client. And that's only because I am coaching out of what I personally can identify with. Even from years ago from when I started. So, I mean, I was, 2002 is many moons ago when I started my nonprofit. And then 2007, 5 years later, is when I started why I got started for my nonprofit, why I got started with the consulting business. And it's something else I always say to myself to this present day. The day that I lose my passion for either of those things, the for-profit business, the consulting, or the nonprofit, is the day that I need to close up shop. Because if I don't have the passion, I'm not going to be competitive in this industry, and I got to close the door.
Yeah, you know, you said something that really resonated with me just now, especially because, you know, I always say that survival is a responsibility, but so is success. But from the standpoint that, you know, for me, because of the work that I do with domestic violence, the work that I do with, trying to get people to adapt to change, right? Because that was the one thing that, you know, held me back. But exactly what you said, the thing that got me over the hump and helped me really get real focused on that is exactly what you said. I saw the woman that I was in the mirror in 2012, and it changed the game for me, because then I just only had to start thinking about what didn't I have? What didn't I have that I needed to recover? And what things didn't I know that led me down the path so I was choosing abusive relationships?
Yeah.
Game changer. Absolutely. Complete game changer.
Mm-hmm. And when you get to that state of awareness, I mean, it shifts everything. It shifts everything. And so for those, again, that's listening now or listening to the replay, you got to know your why. And I know that sounds so common, because I know a lot of people say, know your why. But it is very significant, because if I wasn't in touch with my why, I would have stopped a long time ago. I would have stopped before I got started when the lady told me, you don't even need to try because it's going to be too hard. I would have stopped before I even started. My girl was 22 years old at the time when the woman told me it's going to be too hard. Now, I could have let that shut me down at the age of 22. I could have done nothing else with it. I could have just, you know, forgot about the goals, forgot about the dreams, you know, just leave it to the wayside. But I didn't. I let that be my motivation. And so I say to you, anyone listening, if someone is trying to discount you, if someone is trying to say your business doesn't have value or you can't do it for whatever reason, go the opposite way, because along the way, I was able to identify other leaders that was able to pour into me. You know, some maybe it was educational teaching tools online. Some maybe I've never met. You know, there's so many different platforms online where you can self-educate. So there's no excuse. Even if it's someone that's not in your backyard, if it's someone that you feel is not in your reach, YouTube University is a real thing. And I utilized it to my advantage in my early stages.
No, that's really good advice. So it kind of leads me to my next question for you, which was, you know, you talked about niche, you talked about knowing your mission and your why, and being able to create that plan. But like for you, for example, also for me, we have a lot of similarities in some of the things that we do, and they kind of cross over a little bit. But you know, you've got nonprofit, you've got for profit, you've got consulting, you've got being a speaker, you've got being an author, and I think sometimes when people see someone moving successfully with all those different arms of their businesses and their entrepreneurial endeavors, then they're like, well, I don't need a niche. I can just do this and I can just do that. So will you talk a little bit about kind of how that happened for you? I know you talked about going from the nonprofit and how you kind of started the consulting, but with like the writing and the speaking, and like you're a podcast host and you're doing developmental programs and curriculum writing and things like that. There's a whole lot of things that you're doing. How do some of those things kind of come to be, and how do they all fit into the big picture?
So the writing piece, I published my very first book in 2014, and it's called Community Engagement from Concept to Implementation, 8 Steps to Unlocking Your Creative Ideas. I started that book because many of the leaders, community leaders that I was coaching under the nonprofit umbrella, had 8 common questions that was just repetitive among no matter who I was coaching. It's 8 common things that was being posed to me. So I said, you know what, I'm going to take that and I'm going to create an 8-step process for startup civic leaders, startup nonprofit leaders. It's just, or someone started a nonprofit, but they had no structure, so they need the 8 steps too. So I started that book primarily as a how-to book in terms of teaching them how to, you know, develop their board, how to develop their community engagement strategy, how to build their assets, how to have the ripple effect. Ripple effect is step 8, which I think is the heart of everything in that book, which talks about how to duplicate your nonprofit every 10 years to make sure it's lasting and it's not just here today and gone tomorrow. So that book was birthed out of the need and the 8 common questions I was often getting from my clients.
And that's a great point, because one of the things that you know, my mentor always taught me, and different leaders that I've looked up to, other mentors that I've had, you know, sometimes we think that we can't afford the coach, or we can't afford to sign up for a program. And so, you know, having resources like that out there, like you said, like, people are asking me these same 8 questions. So let me just put that out there. And so this is more so not really a question for you, but for the listener, to encourage them to kind of go beyond where you think you can find help. Like you mentioned YouTube University, right? YouTube tells you everything. So there are resources available out there that can kind of push you in the right direction until you can get to the point where you can meet the person or get the coach or ask the questions that you need to ask.
Yeah, so it's a part of it is self-development. Self-development is major when we're talking about being a business owner. Self-development never stops. You know, that's how actually your business will continue to thrive. Businesses that die out is because the founder or the CEO stopped personal development. Period. It's not even about, oh, it's a bad economy, bad CEO. No, if the business dies, the founder and the CEO stop personal development. Because if someone is a vision, that creative side of that vision is going to think of something else to revive that business. And if the business doesn't revive, that means the visionary has stopped growing. Do just that. It's not something you can turn. If somebody's a visionary, that's something that can just be turned off, because that's innately who that person is designed to be. Development goes hand in hand with the growth of any business.
Absolutely. And then what about, like, for the speaking and because you host retreats, you do all kinds of stuff. So
yeah.
Where did some of that stuff come into play?
My first retreat that I hosted was in the summer of 2020, was a byproduct of something that I went through personally. So it was February 2021, yes. When I had actually, because it was during, it was just after, yeah, because it was still the pandemic time around then. I had held something online. It was on Zoom. And I put a flyer together and I had contacted several women. Hey, listen, I want to do something called When Queens Meet. We're going to meet on Zoom. I'm going to have some virtual speakers. We're going to just let the women come on, and we're going to share, we're going to exchange and empower one another. I remember it was 60 women that got on that Zoom that night, 6-0. I was blown away.
Wow.
And even at the end of the night, the women didn't want to get off the Zoom. And some of the women were saying, you know, normally I don't do this women empowerment. I don't get on with different women because of cattiness that can happen among women, or just, you know, funny acting. But we didn't have none of that energy, and we had 60 women. So 60 women, no cattiness, no negative energy. And from that, it was on my heart. I said, well, you know what? Do a When Queens Meet retreat. And I did the When Queens Meet Zoom because I had a personal need. I was just coming out of a domestic violence marriage. And I needed to be around some empowering women because I was at a low place in my life. Yes, I was a business owner, but I was at a very low place. And I said, let me just pull together different women. When queens meet, I was trying to remind myself, the business owner, yes, I was a business owner, but I had to remind myself that I was a queen because I had lost touch of that piece, that component. So when queens meet was derived out of a personal need, but also sometimes when I've gone through things in my life personally, I have to pour out. It's kind of weird, but I was like, I know I'm dealing with a lot, but let me get a bunch of women together that might also be dealing with the same situation, pour out to them, they pour into me, it's an exchange taking place. And from that, then we did the first retreat. We did the first retreat in Florida. Then this year we did a retreat, and you came down to, because you was in your neck of the woods, you was in Arizona, and we did a retreat with some of the women out there, and that was our second time doing it. But even the retreat was birthed out of a need. Even that was organic, because I hadn't anticipated doing a retreat. I love going to retreats. I'd always been going to retreats ever since I was young. But the retreat came out of that Zoom platform. At that time when we did that Zoom platform, the retreat wasn't even on the horizon. It wasn't even on the schedule. But because so many women had connected to When Queens Meet virtually, I said, well, then let's meet up in person. So several months down the road, because that happened in February, it was June of that same year when we pulled together a retreat. I didn't even plan, wasn't even planned for a year. I am an advocate of planning now, but that just happened so organic. That the women, again, I think that's just like the thing, a lot of things for my life. Things develop organically, and then I flow with it, but I also have the structure. So it wasn't until after that first retreat, honestly, that I started to put the structure together for When Queens Meet. Because when I did that Zoom, I had no intention on formalizing it, really. I was just trying to pull women together. I was in a very dark place emotionally, what I just came out of, and I just needed support from the sisterhood. But out of that, then turned into the retreat.
Yeah, and, you know, I what I love so much about that is sometimes we underestimate
how valuable it can be to be our own client.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's a perfect testimony. Sometimes, you know, when we can identify what we need, if you need it, more than likely somebody else is, as you just said, like somebody else is going through some things. Somebody else is in a dark place. So, you know, you mentioned coming out of an abusive relationship, being a business owner and all that. And that was really the crux of this whole journey back, like overcoming life challenges and still pressing through. And so, you know, you kind of shared about how you persevered. So then now let's go into what that became and what you have going on now.
Okay. So it was a perseverance. I mean, me being a business owner and having to leave a very toxic, unhealthy marriage, I was not well physically in my body. My blood pressure was through the roof to the point I was at stroke level. That's according to the doctors. But I was still running the business. People didn't even know I was like the dead man walking. I think it's a show on TV called The Walking Dead. And that was me, honestly, still with the business, but I was the walking dead. People didn't know. And that's why I always tell people, you never know what a business owner is going through. You never know what someone's going through, even in their personal relationship. And so I was dealing with that and still trying to pull off the business, still trying to build a business. And then when I had to transition from that environment, having to find somewhere else to live, so I had found a studio apartment. And then, some may not know, but I'm also legal guardian of my brother who's autistic, and having to be juggling between two states, Florida and Maryland, having to, you know, tend to his personal needs as his legal guardian. So all this dynamic is going on while I'm still trying to run the business. And so did I have thoughts of just, you know what, let me just be done with all this business stuff. Let me just go get a job and just, you know, and just
try to maintain that way. But entrepreneurship is definitely bred in me. But at the same time, and I want to just speak to the hearts of those that are entrepreneurs, when you're dealing with those personal life situations, it can have an impact on the business. It had an impact on my business. Yes, I was still running the business, but it wasn't at the optimum level during that time. It really wasn't. I was not at my optimum, so the business wasn't at the optimum.
Right.
I remember having to walk to a car dealership to get a car because, you know, in that situation, he intentionally crashed the car so I couldn't get around. I remember when I had to go to the dealership and walk. It was a 45-minute walk, but I left with the car. And just different things that I went through. It was a season before I even got the studio apartment that I was staying in a hotel. All these dynamics were going on. Someone said, well, why don't you go into, you know, women's recovery transitional house? I'm like, well, how can I do that? If I got Zoom meetings, different things, how can I do that in a transitional house? Because you have to abide by the rules or just different dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was extra money I was putting out to stay in hotels. Not luxury hotels, but just a place that I knew I could have a committed, quiet space to still conduct business. And so I say this because it may be business owners that's watching now, listening later. You may be dealing with some real life stuff. And but you're still trying to hold on to that mission. You're still trying to hold on to that vision. Hold on to it. And yes, you may not be operating your optimal capacity. I was not operating in my optimal capacity, but I still knew the vision was very real. And I knew once I got out of that situation and got stabilized, I would be able to shift things within the business. And so I remember, you know, then having to transition from being in Florida, now coming back to Maryland. That in of itself was another dynamic, moving from one state to another and shift. Even when I got here in a place that I had identified that I thought was going to be home, then one of the neighbors, and I hate to even talk to you about this, was very obnoxious. I couldn't get any sleep, and I felt like, wow, this is just a continuation of some of the abuse that I was in. Can't sleep, and you know, I have to have a proper amount of sleep to function. So just all this personal chaotic situations going on, but still trying to hold on to the mission and the vision. And so I'm saying this because I want to encourage somebody, just because you're going through all these personal things, if someone is listening, you are going through that, that does not mean that the vision can't live again. That does not mean the business can't be revived again. Did my business take a nosedive? Yes, it did. It did. And that's why I said earlier, the condition or the mindset or the personal development of the owner, it does play a huge part into the growth of the business. Now, once I got out of that toxic situation and once I got stabilized, my business quadrupled.
Right.
And it's because my mindset had to shift. But before that happened, there was a season. I remember being in that studio apartment in Florida, and it was in the month of May. And I was so far mentally distraught, I didn't even want to continue to live. I didn't want to continue to go forward. I was mentally distraught. I kept prayers around me. I couldn't even pray for myself. And I'm being transparent because you never know where a business person is at. And I'm telling you, you can push past this season. You can push past this moment. This does not have to be your end. Your business can be revived. You can be revived again. You know, but that's where I was. I was so broken. I was so low in every area, financially, mentally, emotionally. It was just distraught. And so, but I also believe this. Again, a visionary can't change who they are. A visionary is a visionary because you were born that way. You're uniquely made. You're wired that way. So us as visionaries, even though we hit a low place in life, ultimately we're going to bounce back. It just takes time to bounce back.
And that is, in a nutshell, the journey back. The journey back to you,
yes.
The journey back to me. You know, and I think that, you know, somebody's going to definitely be inspired by what you just shared.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's bounce back, you know, which leads us to the book, The Journey Back. You know, even in the title for the theme of tonight, Journey Back to Me. The reason why I titled the book Journey Back to Me, because I had to get back in tune with who is Catherine E. Trotter. Who am I? You know, not what other people said I am, not the labels people said I am, not all these,
you know, word curses or negative things people wanted to speak over my life. Who am I? And what am I supposed to uniquely be able to do? And so Journey Back to Me is a two-pronged, I guess you can say, purpose for the book. Me rediscovering who I am, but also rediscovering and connecting back to my relationship with God, not based in religion, but relationship. So Journey Back to Me, even while I've been writing the book, and you know this, I've been dealing with pop-ups from the past, and as I've been writing the book and completing the book, and I've been personally living the book to the point where, you know, it had to redefine me. I had to settle certain things from the past. I had to come to terms with certain things of the past, and it's been and you know what? I don't think the journey is going to continue. You know, even with this book being released in the fall time, the journey is going to continue to unfold itself. Because I truly believe even once the book is officially released, that's going to unlock another chapter in my life that it won't be unlocked until I release the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. And that's, that goes back to your, once you get in motion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's a perfect example of that.
And even with me trying to finish the book, and you know this, it's been detours. Oh, my gosh, it's been detours, different things in terms of boomerangs, how do you say, you know, things that came out of nowhere, and the pop-up has been the major. And honestly, for those that's listening now, I had to add a piece in the book about pop-up, okay? That wasn't even initially nowhere going to be in the book, but because it was actually happening in my life, I had to add a piece in a book about pop-ups. What do you do with the pop-ups that come in your life? Because that's real. How do you manage it? How do you deal with it?
Right. So, and for those of you who are listening who may be not understanding what she means by pop-ups, we're talking about when, you know, you're on a path, you're on a growth journey, you're taking, you know, reclaiming authority over some things in your life, and, you know, your mission is clear. And it seems like when the clearer you get, the more they pop up. And so the pop-ups are people from your past. You know, it might be personal relationships. It might be intimate relationships, friendships, family, you know, different experiences kind of showing up in your life, giving you another opportunity to be like, so what you gonna do now? You know, this is all part of that journey and the entrepreneurial experience. That I think that sometimes we, you know, we underestimate, and I think you said this earlier, Catherine, that, you know, people see where you are, they see what you're doing, and they see what you show, but we have to remember those are highlight reels. The cut room scraps, nobody's seeing that stuff. But as an entrepreneur, you are, you know, you are buried in your cut room scraps. You're buried in your experiences. And so exactly what you said earlier, being able to serve and share from those experiences and being able to, you know, offer to someone else, you know, something that you wanted, something that you needed. Mm-hmm. That's what you did with the retreat, you know. So tell us about the book. Tell us where people can find you.
Yes.
What's going on with Catherine?
Yes. So definitely check out my website. It's my first and last name. And Catherine with a C. I know some K's out there. Shout out to the K's of Catherine, but I am Catherine with a C. So it's Catherine, C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, Trotter, T-R-O-T-E. Site, you'll be able to find information about me and my professional services that I've been talking about during this podcast about strategic planning, coaching, and development. And then you'll also discover information about Journey Back to Me. If you're in the Maryland area, we will be connecting on the 18th of October in the fall. It's going to be a time of networking, a time of exchange, a time where we're all going to be journeying back. And that's why I want to do it in the fall, because also that's a transition seasonally. We're transitioning, you know, into the fall time. And I think it's a perfect time to release the book, because we're going to all be going on a new path. It's going to be the fourth quarter of the year, just before we go into the new year of 2023. So it's going to be a time of transition. It's going to be the fourth quarter. Also, if you want to find out information about when Queens meet, go to CatherineTrotter.com, and it'll be linked from that one site to all of my other sites that you can learn more
about how you can be a part of the Queen group. Again, it's not just limited if you're not in the Maryland area. We have Queens that's not local that participate virtually and stay connected in that fashion.
All right, guys. So KatherineTrotter.com, make sure you go check her out and be on the lookout for her new book coming out this fall called Journey Back to Me. I was privy to be able to read some of the book and be able to kind of get a first glance at it. And when I tell you this woman was authentic, she was transparent, yeah, you definitely want to check the book out, especially, you know, for women who are going through things and you are trying to reclaim your independence, your freedom, your authority, whatever the case may be. I can highly recommend Journey Back to Me. So stay connected with Katherine for that and for all of her entrepreneurial services. If you just want to connect with her, make sure you reach out to her on KatherineTrotter.com. Katherine, I am going to thank you, and we're going to cut tonight's show a little short because I want to be respectful of the fact that you were gracious enough to come on, even though you weren't the one who should. So.
Yeah, no, and before we close out, I definitely have to say thanks to you because the birthing of Journey Back to Me was a huge undertaking, but you constantly, as my book coach, constantly reminded me to be authentic. I remember our conversations about the eyes, you know, personalizing it. I went through, and sometimes we have to get to that place where we're able to own a season of our life and able to go into that space so we can not be afraid to talk about it, not be afraid or ashamed to talk about it. That in and of itself is empowering. And so I would say to anyone listening, you know, if you're looking for a book coach, you know, definitely plug, you know, with this beautiful queen. And I'm not just saying that to just push the business. When she coached with me, it was an impartation. It was a pouring into. And also it was an unlocking. So, you know, there's so many people that are sitting on your goals, that are sitting on your dreams. And sometimes you just need someone to help unlock it. For me personally, I had to learn how to say I went through whatever the XYZ is. When you get the book, you'll see all the fine details of the I's, of all the things in the transitions of my life, right? And being able to talk about it, being able to own that and not be ashamed. And I think that's the biggest thing because I grew up, you know, you don't talk about things, you quiet, don't speak on it. And through this process of Journey Back to Me, I was able to learn how not to be ashamed anymore. And so I thank you for that, and I thank you also for the opportunity on coming on tonight.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure, and thank you so much for those kind words as well. I'm excited for the book to come out. I'm so proud of you trusting me to be on that journey with you, on that journey back to finding Katherine. It definitely was heartwarming for me to be part of it as well. I always love that the aspects of being able to help people through the book project. So, but that's our show for tonight, guys. Again, KatherineTrotter.com, so you can link up with Ms. Katherine. And if you're interested in when Queens Meet, I know they're also on Instagram, so look for her there. And then as a reminder, if you have a story that you'd like to share or some knowledge you want to drop, you have some ideas for the show, you can always go to our website, 9seconds.org/V as in voiceless, the number 2, V as in Victoria. So 9seconds.org/V2V. There's an online form there that you can fill out, and that is also where you can find links to the replay. So if you missed any of Ms. Katherine's message tonight or any other episodes that we've had throughout 2022, they can all be found there. But that's it for us tonight. And every week I say that survival is a responsibility, but so is success. Survival is a responsibility for me. It's very personal to me. And sustainable life change is well within your reach. So if you have questions about how to go about making some proactive life changes, feel free to reach out to me on any of my platforms at Dr. Marcy Batiste or on my website, marcybatiste.com. And in the meantime and in between times, guys, This is Dr. Marcy with Ms. Catherine Trotter, and this is the Voiceless for Victorious, or Voiceless to Victorious podcast, and we will talk to you guys next week. Have an enjoyable week, everyone.